couple of weeks ago, we were sharing about the kingdom of God, and I just want to touch on a couple of scriptures quickly, just to refresh your memory, or if you weren't here.
If you don't go to Rock Solid Church, and maybe you're visiting from somewhere else, I want you to know you never got saved into a church. Amen? Everybody agree? Right. We got saved into the kingdom of God, right? In Mark 1, 14 and 15, or 14, it says that, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came to preach. It's about the kingdom of God and us being ushered into that, for it was his kingdom that created all of this. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for quite a while, and we're going to stay on that. Is that all right? Right. If there's one thing the church needs, it's a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost. Every church. I want to walk around the Episcopal Church over here, Shiloh, AME, the Presbyterian Church out there in Green Street, and just praying for a baptism in the Holy Spirit in all of those places. Because let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost comes, everything changes. When power from the throne room of God invades an area, everything starts to change. I don't know about you, but I remember when the Holy Ghost invaded my life, everything in my life started to change. Everything. And he's the same yesterday. Right. So Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom in Luke 9:2, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. That's what we're proclaiming. We're not proclaiming Rock Solid Church. We're not proclaiming, oh, we're non-denominational. The church is so confused. We've got a plethora of titles that we've given each other. Thank God for Martin Luther and the Restoration. Amen? When it went back to faith, by grace through faith. And that's where we walk, but he gets all the glory. He gets it all. But we preach the kingdom of God because we get ripped out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his beloved son, or into the kingdom of light and love. Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach, this is Jesus speaking, I must preach, this is the Son of God speaking, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. You want to know why Jesus came? To preach the gospel. That was his message. It was to set the captives free. How do the captives get set free? By preaching the kingdom of God has come. And when the kingdom of God comes and establishes itself on the earth, freedom comes to that area. Amen? Amen? Freedom came to your house when you stepped into the kingdom of God. Somebody came and said, hey, do you want to accept Jesus Christ? And you said, what? No, not yet. Whatever you said in the beginning, probably you did not say yes the first time. Except for maybe your kids if you were saved, because you told them you will accept Jesus Christ. You want food? Accept Jesus. You want a warm bed? Accept Jesus. I don't know how you did it with your kids, but that's how we did it. No. No. But, you know, when they come in to the kingdom at a young age, it's different than when we've come out of darkness into the kingdom. Because there's a drastic transformation that comes. I don't know about you, but it was for my life. And when I came out of darkness into the light, it was glorious. And just a moment with me and God and everything changed. And I could see differently. I could see past myself for the first time in my life. I don't know about you, but I didn't see past myself before Christ. I thought about pleasing myself. I did what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. And the police and the Air Force, they didn't agree with me. Somebody was wrong, and it was me. And then one moment with the king and everything changes. Out of one kingdom into another. I want you to know you belong to the kingdom of God. And of that kingdom, is there an end?
No.
There shall be no end. I like being in that kingdom. Some people are wrapped up in the things of this world, and all they are is chasing the things of this world. This world comes to an end. Don't spend your life building here. Spend your life building for eternity. That is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's the kingdom that Jesus preached about. And so now we know that when his blood was, when he shed his blood and he washed us and cleansed us from our sins, we got swept into the kingdom of his beloved son. And then he wasn't stopping there, right? So every curse is broken over your life. Do you agree? Right. So now's the time for the church to live that out. How about we live that out? Every time somebody says to you, oh, you're struggling, huh? Every curse is broken over my life. I'm free indeed in the name of Jesus Christ. Instead of, oh, I know, it's so hard. Oh, God, deliver me, set me free, Lord, help me. It's so hard. Immediately from one to the other. No, just keep saying what he said and you'll have what he said you can have. That's the focus. Every time you start saying what you were, what you did, who you are, you start agreeing with that old man, you resurrect that old dead man. And you give him authority over your life. When I got saved and I stopped drinking, a six-pack for breakfast and three for dinner, me and my roommate, I never drank again, but some people came and said, you drank too much for too long for me to ever believe that you'll stop drinking. And I said, I'm able with him. All things are possible. And there were challenges and there were trying times. But you know what? I just kept going back and saying, no, I don't want to. And then when they challenged me and said, oh, you'll drink again, then I was like, oh, yeah? We'll throw down now. I'll do it in my own strength if I have to just to prove you wrong. That rebellion comes out after a while, but it manifests itself in many ways. But with God, it's possible. And he's kept me for 37 years. And now it's not even a thought. I don't care what you've struggled with. He's a healer and a deliverer. He's worthy of it all. Amen. He's saying, no matter what you bring to me, I'm able. Stop giving power and authority to the lie. Let's give it to the word of God and stand on the promise and everything changes. And he said, well, you know what? They're going to get saved. They're going to come in. And then they're going to get weak. Did you ever get weak after you got saved? And then he says, now I'm going to energize them. Now I'm going to hook them up to the throne room. We're going to hook them up to 1.21 gigawatts. Yeah. For you young people, that was Back to the Future, all right? It was an old movie, but we're going to hook them up to something that they're always looking for sustainable power. I want you to know God gave it to the church. Amen. The Holy Ghost is sustainable when you walk in the kingdom of God. And when you walk and you agree with what he said, you'll have what you say when you speak his word over your situation. And the Holy Ghost, he don't play. He's not interested in the darkness in your life. We bring it, oh, you don't understand God. Holy Spirit just sits there and says, shut up. That's what he tries to get us to do. Stop giving power to the lie. No more power to the lie. Every time that lie comes, you tell it in your mind. Don't run around through the store, shut up in the name of Jesus. They'll throw you out for being a wacko. But in your mind, and then look at, if you have to say shut up, and go ahead and say it. I'd rather have you free and them throw you out of the store for a week or so rather than walk in your bondage. But in your mind, you sit there and say, no, that's not me. I know who I am in Christ who strengthens me. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, he's part of the Godhead. He's a person. He's not an it. And almost all translations, almost all of them, there's a couple that are way out there, but all of them say he. All of them say he. He is a person. He's someone you need to get to know. He's someone you need to experience life with. He walks with you. He goes before you. He lives on the inside of you. He's intimately acquainted with all of your ways because he's God. Amen? See, now, always, it's always referred to in Scripture as him. I got to stay at this because Elijah is messing with the clock. He's cutting time off, I think. He has the attributes of personhood with personal relationships. He can be grieved. He can be ignored. He can be lied to. He has insight. He knows things which requires intellect. He has a will. He can fix of sin. He performs miracles. He guides and he intercedes. That's what he does. You need a miracle? Call them. All you got to do is drop to your knees and you have a direct line to the Holy Ghost. You don't have to call collect. He's already paid the price. Right? He's already paid for your price. It doesn't cost you, it cost him. God paid the price for everything you have need of all the days of your life and all through eternity. Would you please believe that? I gotta stay on track. I'm sorry. In Acts 15, 27 and 28, it says, "We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by the word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He spoke to the apostles. Tell your neighbor, say, the Holy Ghost will speak to you. See, a lot of churches are afraid to speak of this stuff. They don't want to talk about, well, now you're getting spooky. No, now we're getting spiritual. We're getting outside of religion and we're getting into the scriptural realities of where God wanted us to walk. Because he said, you're not alone. And if you're not alone, somebody's with you. And if somebody's with me and it's called he in the scriptures, then he wants to talk to me. Anybody ever have the Holy Ghost speak to you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the only reason why I'm alive. The only reason why I'm here is because of him and his voice keeping me. In John 16, 8, it says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment." Listen, when you feel guilt because of something you're doing, it's not the devil. The devil wants you to enjoy the lie. He wants you to enjoy the darkness. He wants you to enjoy sin. He's not going to stop you from doing that. That's the Holy Ghost saying, don't put that before your eyes, fellas. Don't watch those movies, ladies. Listen, them Hallmark shows are just as bad. No. They're all the same, and it's all fantasy. My car broke down in the middle of Nebraska in the wintertime, and there he comes, and he fixes my tire, and we sit by the fireplace, and he loves me, and we get married. It's the same thing every time. It's fantasy. Look, we're all guilty. Sorry, girls, you're in this with us. But when the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't put that stuff before your eyes, whatever it is, listen to him. When he wakes you up and says, don't look at the news, read the word. Yeah, but what's going on in Israel? It'll be going on there tomorrow. Yeah, but what's going on in our government? You don't want to know. He said, get in my word, because in my word there's going to be faith, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's strength, there's mercy, there's grace, there's peace, and there's your whole family can be saved and set free if you get into my word first thing in the morning. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Amen. Listen to him, because he's going to tell you over and over and over again. Amen? John 16, 13, it says, but when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, so he is truth, he's never going to lie to you. He will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Hey, you want to know what's coming? Spend some time with the Holy Ghost. People have been predicting it for how long, right? We had Hal Lindsey back in the 80s, the late great Planet Earth, right? What was going to end in 1992 or something like that, or 87, I forget. But he predicted it all through numerology, and this was going to be the end, and the world's going to be over, and he lied. Because no one knows the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back. But if you want to know what's coming for your life, spend time with him. You know, most people are looking for what bad is coming. Isn't that what everybody thinks about with the rapture? Oh, the 7 years of tribulation! The wrath of God is not towards you. Tell your neighbor, say, God's wrath isn't upon me. That's the key. You've stepped out of darkness. His wrath is not towards you. You're a friend of God. Woo! Tell your neighbor, I'm his friend. So many in church think that you're trying to become his friend. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you became a friend of God. You're his friend and he likes hanging out with you. The person next to you might not, but he does. And then in Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You want to know how to get through your issue? You need power from on high. You need 1.21 gigawatts every morning. Because that weeping comes when? When does weeping come? In the evening, and then what happens? Joy comes in the morning. That's right, that's the Holy Ghost coming. He wakes you up early in the morning. Mercy fills your room, and then he says, come on. I've got a day planned for you. My mom, when we were young in school, she would give us one day off every spring, right? Every spring, she said, we can do whatever you want to do today. We're going to skip school. Yes. Anything you want to do today, what do you want to do? I was young, I said, I want to take my shoes off, go walk in a creek and catch frogs. That's all they wanted to do. So we went, we took our shoes off, and me and mom went, well, I caught frogs. She didn't catch frogs. She watched me. And then we went and we got ice cream. And that was our day off, just whatever you wanted to do. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to spend the day with you. But we need to ask him whatever you want to do. Because I guarantee you, he's going to have you doing something better than catching frogs. Whole lot more he wants to do with you. He wants to enjoy his time with you when we arise. He's got something glorious. He said, but you will receive power, enough power to overcome all the enemy, every lie, every curse, every addiction, every abuse. Listen, he wants you to stop blaming someone else because then you'll find your freedom. He said, take your blame that you have for them, those that abused you, whatever they did, maybe you were neglected, whatever it was, I don't know. And my heart hurts for you because you had to go through that. But whatever it is, he said, can you put that on me? Give me that. I paid for it at Calvary. Put it on me. How you feel towards them, put it on me because I'll bring deliverance to you. When you give it to me, then you no longer can take it back. And I'm going to destroy that life and I'm going to give you one that's better. I'm going to take you out of that, and I'm going to place you into a place where you know that you're loved, where you know that there's mercy every morning, where I rejoice. The Bible says that God rejoices over you, he sings over you, and he dances over you. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. That's what he does. That's what the word says. But so many are trying and struggling and fighting and all of this stuff that the devil tries to get you to become religious. Every religion is man's way of trying to work their way into a good relationship with God. Amen. That's all religion does around the world, every single one of them. That's why he said, I came to preach the kingdom. I didn't come to preach a religion. I came to preach that my God, my Father, wants a relationship with you, and this is how we do it in eternity. Me, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, we're all one. We're in unity. If you love him and love one another, you get to join in with us, and then you get to walk in the freedom that we have in the kingdom that we created. There's no other way in the kingdom than what his word says. Man has tried for eons. There's only one way in the kingdom, his way. And your freedom comes through him, with him, by him, and then for him. He doesn't need damaged people running around telling people about Jesus. He needs people that have been healed and set free. Amen? He doesn't need you going up and saying, what did you go through? And then they tell you this horror story. Oh, I know. I'm the same way. I feel the same. I think the same thoughts. Oh, it's horrible, this life that we're in. Who's going to bring freedom? If we're going to agree with them, oh, I know, my life is just as bad. I thought you were a Christian. Well, I am. But no, either we are or we aren't. Did he deliver you? Did he set you free? Did he pay the price? Did he fill us with the Holy Ghost? Did he say, I'll be with you all the days of your life? Did he promise all that he's promised us and said, I only created those promises for you? And when do we start agreeing with him and saying, thank you, Father, for setting me free? And I truly am free indeed. See, that means your deeds become freedom. You're free indeed. That means everything we do from a place of freedom. We don't do it from a place of bondage. How long did we do things from a place of bondage? Right? All I knew was bondage. I knew one thing on Friday and Saturday nights, go to the pub. That was bondage. That's what we thought. You, in order to have a good time, you had to drink something that made you lose your faculties. That was bondage. Now, I can go to a bar and dance on the bar, sober as a man can be. I don't care. You want to go to a bar and hang out? We'll get in a fight? Let's go get in a fight. I can do it completely sober. Because now I can swing that pool stick a whole lot easier and I can actually hit something. But I'm just saying, that's what we used to do. You had that false courage, right? And you got lied to and said, this is a good time. Ha! I was broke in the morning. I had to have somebody bail me out sometimes. And then I was hungover. And then we thought, oh, that was amazing. Let's do it again. How stupid. But that's how deceptive darkness is. And then when the light comes, everything starts to change. You're walking in the light as he is light. God can be nothing but light. Whenever God comes, darkness, what's it do? It has to flee. So when we agree with the word of God and we walk in Christ and the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes and you get hooked up to the power of the Holy Ghost, you receive that gift from God, I want you to know light is infused into your life and darkness will flee. It has to. If we turned off these lights, darkness came in. Every time we turn them on, darkness has to go. Darkness cannot withstand the light. No matter what kind of darkness you were walking in, I want you to know your God already overcame that darkness. Just because of you. Just because you're so special. Thanks, honey. She knows she's special. I tell her every day. Yeah. Because I'm going to say what the Word of God says. We were sitting there yesterday. It was Saturday. We didn't have a whole lot planned. We had stuff around the house to do. And she came walking. I said, honey, have a seat. She was like, all right. So let's just spend some more time in prayer. I said, all right, because we got a lot of things we want to get done around here. Martin Luther said, they said, how long do you pray? He said, depends on how much I have to do. If I have a lot on my plate, I pray even longer. Because then God makes a way where there seems to be no way. See, that's the truth of God's word. When you can't, he can. Amen? So he said in Acts 1:8, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the world or the earth. And so witnesses are those that simply testify again about what God has done in your life. Who has heard from you this week about what God has done? Now, the power of the kingdom or the throne room living in and through you. All the power from the throne room now dwells within you. Is there anything you can't overcome? No. Absolutely not. You can overcome. You have overcome. It's past tense. And the power of healing is in the throne room that you have access to through Christ. We talked about it in communion, and it's his desire that you walk in it. And when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, we receive our native language. We talked about that. They all spoke in tongues in the upper room, and God desires you to do that. Some don't when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Some don't speak in tongues, not right away. But they go home, and they're in their closet. They're driving down the road, wherever they are, and they start speaking in tongues. You know, and that's my desire for everyone here. It's been my strength many times in life. I didn't know what to pray. I don't know about you, but when I get worshiping or I get praying and I run out of the English words, how many know English words fall short of glorifying God? No matter what songs they come up with, it always comes up short. And then I just get lost and just start yelling hallelujah or worshiping God, thanking him for who he is. But then we start to speak in tongues. And you know, what he does is he empowers us when we build ourselves up. When we speak in tongues, when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues, you start to get strengthened. And then the only thing you want to talk about, me and Landon had a good day yesterday. We went to go get tires on his car. And it was funny because I didn't realize the way that he saw it compared to the way that I saw it. And he was like, Mom, Dad was on a roll. It was five people in an hour and a half. They all heard about Jesus Christ. Had a great time with all these people. He said, yeah, but Mom, he drove up. There was this one black gentleman pulling into Walmart, and we were pulling out. And I just pulled up next to his car. He was talking to somebody in his back seat. We just sat there. I put my window down, and I just waited. And the gentleman opened up his door, and I just looked at him. I said, you know, you got a call of God on your life, and it's time you started leading men the way that God created you. He said, why are you saying that? I said, because you've heard it before, and you know it's true. Why are you saying that? Because you need to hear it. Now get to Rock Solid Church at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And then I drove off. I'm just sowing seed. I don't care if I don't know him. I don't care where he came from. I care how big he is or how strong he is. Never getting tires. I'm talking to that kid over there, and he saw me at a wedding that I did years ago. And so we talked about the things of God, and he said, well, I believe something created us, and, you know, we just all walk through life. I said, oh, so you tell yourself that so you can do whatever you want and you don't have anybody staying accountable to. He goes, yeah. I said, well, thank God for honesty, amen? You know, the lunacy, they don't care how goofy it sounds. They're just like, yeah, man. And I said, well, show me the book you're reading. I don't read any books. I said, so where you get your information from? Just your head? Yeah. I said, well, listen, there, you're going to have a problem at the end. And so we shared some more, but I just want to encourage you, when the Holy Spirit comes and you get stronger in the Holy Spirit, you don't care, right? Because when you walk into a room, there's two thoughts. You don't need what anybody has, because your God supplies all your needs, amen? So when you walk in, you need nothing, but everybody in there needs what you have, and it's the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. It's the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what they need. And we must realize how it must be for the Holy Ghost to confine himself in each one of us. I want you to think about that. How difficult must that be for the Holy Spirit? Here he is, God in us. He lives in us. We walk into a room, and we've all done this. We've all grieved the Holy Ghost. Everybody in here has hurt the Holy Ghost's heart. I don't know about you, but I know I had many times. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to hurt his heart anymore. I just want to walk in obedience. But I've walked into a room and he says, hey, tell that one about the Lord. What? Here? Now? When I first got saved. And I said, okay, just let me get my stuff done and then I'll come back and I'll talk to him. The guy was gone. I missed my opportunity. He wanted that guy's life to be changed. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many people want their children to get set free? Right? We all do. And how does it break our hearts? How many nights have we wept that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews, we cry out, oh God, touch them. Oh God, send somebody to them. Lord, please send somebody. And then the Holy Spirit says, okay, you talk to this one. Me? Yeah, but I didn't read this morning. I didn't pray this morning. I was running late and I ran out of the house. I'm not worthy. He said, yes, you are. I'll give you the words. I'll bring it back to your remembrance. Yeah. How hard must it be that he's got to watch the body of Christ, us, walk past another one of his kids that are going down the wrong path that might not have another day on the planet. And then we say, no. How must it feel for him, God himself? And we tell God, no, I refuse. I refuse because I'm afraid. I refuse because I'm in a hurry. I refuse because I don't know what to say. I refuse, even though I've read and I know what to say, but I refuse because I'm more worried about man's opinion. And I just want to encourage you today. He's empowered you to do one thing. What did Jesus come to preach? The kingdom. He said, I didn't come down here to do what I want and say what I want. See, so when we come into the kingdom of light, we don't get to do and say what we want. Wouldn't that be wonderful if every marriage in here only spoke over their spouse what the word says? How much would that change our children's lives? The only words we're allowed to speak over our spouse is what the word of God says. It brings deliverance and healing and freedom and love and mercy and grace, joy and peace. And then he said, if you have a problem, go to your wife and just sit down and talk about it. Not scream about it. Not pout about it. My wife is so tired of my pouting. She just looks at me now and says, you'll have to get over it. That's not fair. You're supposed to feel bad for me. You're supposed to come and, you know, we're supposed to talk about this. No, you'll have to deal with it. She's right. She's right. But what we say, because all the 36 years of our marriage, the only thing she's ever been is my queen or my bride. That's the only two words that I'm allowed to say. Why? That's what the word says she is to me. She's my bride. And my marriage is a testimony of what we spoke over one another. She calls me Lord, but, you know. Abraham did Sarah. It's biblical. She doesn't, but, you know, it could happen. Isn't it amazing how the plan of God is limited to us? Right? One man said, without God, man can't. And without man, God won't. Without God, man Or without man, God can't. Because he said, he rules the heavens and he gave earth to us. He gave us what in Genesis? Dominion. So he gave the earth to us to rule and reign and walk in dominion. So he needs us to obey his word and establish that dominion in our minds and in our hearts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when you understand you have dominion in every situation you walk in through because God gave it to man in a garden, Adam lost it, but God restored it through the blood of Jesus Christ, right? So now you're restored back to that place of dominion over the birds and the fish and all of that stuff, not man. You don't get to dominate another human being. But when we walk in that dominion power, then we're no longer afraid because that's a spirit. And he said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm free today in the name of Jesus. So God's only released on the earth when you release him. He comes in visions and dreams and speaks to people, but the power of God is made manifest through you. Tell your neighbor, say, you're awful powerful. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what happened when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8? Down there in verse 14, Peter stood up. That's what the church needs to do. Tell your neighbor, say, stand up. Stand up. Well, stand up. Peter stood up. Peter stood up. He was saved. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then he stood up. Stand up. The world's going crazy and they're standing up and saying all kinds of crazy. Stand up and speak the truth. But stand up. Peter stood up. 3,000 swept into the kingdom. Here's what Peter said in Acts 2:17-21. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on who? All flesh. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. Right. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see vision, your old men dream dreams. And I, my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord... So you're saved from all of the horror that's coming. The wrath of God is not against you. It's time to rejoice again as free men and women in Christ.
saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, standing up, preaching Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Ghost, by whom you were sealed. And I just want to touch on this just briefly, because that word sealed in Ephesians 1:13, it says, Paul says, that if you belong to the Lord, you have been sealed. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit for God. And that means when God sealed you with the Holy Ghost, it means that God approved of you. You're approved of by God. Who cares about the person next to you? I don't care about your opinion, Gina. I don't care. I'm approved by God. I don't care, Alex. Your opinion means nothing. Oh, yes. Well, let me finish this quick. Means you're God approved. Your contents are intact and in order. You should never again view yourself as if you are damaged goods. Amen. Garrett, you are not damaged goods. Amen. Carrie, you're not damaged goods. Rebecca, no. You are not damaged goods, Rebecca. You're perfectly and wonderfully made in the image of your God, Rebecca. And Sean, you ain't damaged goods. Bradley, not a chance. You are not damaged goods, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of your God. Bill, you're not damaged goods. Pete Voicey, you're not damaged goods. Y'all going right? You better agree with me. You are approved, endorsed, recognized, affirmed, sanctified, and notarized by the Spirit of God. You have the seal of God's approval on you. Can I tell you, it's better than USDA. They put poison in us. But now we need to start acting like you have God's approval. Not arrogant, but whole, strong, steady, fierce in love. Well, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. This means there is nothing incomplete or defective about you. Jeremiah, there is nothing defective about you. Nothing. Not one thing of yesterday, not one thing in your life or in your body is defective. Nothing. You agree with me? You better. I know I can beat you in arm wrestling. Maybe. When God made you new, the last thing he did was check you out. He checked you out. He looked over you from top to bottom, front and back. He knows you inside and out. He's intimately acquainted with all of your ways. And he said, they've got my seal of approval because the blood was enough. The seal of the Holy Spirit is also the guarantee that you're going to make it to your final destination. God's the one who inspected you and he packaged you and prepared you for eternity. That's good news, isn't it? Good news. And you won't need UPS. You won't need FedEx. You won't even need these drones to carry you around and drop you. In the twinkling of an eye, he's going to grab you by the hand and he's going to bring you all the way to himself in the throne room where he is. Amen? You've already been sealed. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbors, I'm going to make it. Stop worrying. Stop being afraid. You're going to make it. Yeah, but I made some more mistakes. He's enough to wash away them too. The blood was enough for your future mistakes. Stop thinking about your mistakes. Start agreeing, I'm going to make it. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. My marriage is strong in the name of Jesus. My children will walk with him all the days of their lives, even when they get old. He approved the package and he sealed you with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good news? That's good news. And one quick announcement before we end. Thanks for reminding me, honey. I meant to announce this in the beginning. Everything is wonderful. Let's start with that. But this summer, I turned 60 in January, and we've been here 25 years in March, preaching the gospel here in Hudson. This summer, we're going to take a sabbatical, me and my bride. We're going to take 3 months off. The elders have approved it. They came to me. We're still going to be here. We're not going anywhere. All right, online, we're not going anywhere. Well, I mean, we might be day trips and a week away or whatever. We're hoping to get to Brazil sometime this year, about planting a church down there. Anybody want to go on a mission trip to Brazil?
Yes.
You're going to get your wish, Susie. They got a place down there that we can use as a springboard to send everybody. So me and Brent are going to, we're just not going to be here on the every day-to-day functioning of the church. We've got a great leadership team with our elders and deacons who do an amazing job. Amen? They will be running the everyday activities here. We're still going to be here. What's going on? The finances are fine. The marriage is fine. Our health is fine. Here's the reason. I was in a meeting in Dallas with a whole bunch of men that were in their 80s. And they said the most profitable time for a man's ministry is 60 to 70. Because you came through all the insecurities, fears, all the raising children. You didn't know if there was going to be enough money, all of that stuff. And then people complaining about how you preach, people complaining about how you lead, people, and you get used to that after a while, right? When you're in leadership, right? Parents know that. Your children complain about you. And it starts at a young age. Well, it's the same in the church. People always find something wrong with leadership, because if you're going to lead, people are going to have a problem with you. It's just that simple, right? You make a decision, somebody's not going to be happy with it. But regardless, everything is good. We love you. Could you come up here, Bren? Yes. We love them, right? Just making sure we're in agreement. I don't want to be speaking for you. Okay. No, we're not going anywhere. We're just taking some time away because I want to get a clear path for the next 10 years. I want to know. Because I know there's men in here that God's called to go and preach the gospel. And I want to know how to draw that out of men and to live in such a way that more men want to run after the call of God in their lives. My wife also, where more women step into the call of God in their lives. We want to have that crystal clear for the next 10 years, because I believe there's more churches that need to be planted, more missionaries that are to be sent out, more people to get saved, bring them in, get them baptized in the Holy Ghost, train them up in the house of God, and then release them into what God's called them to do. Can we all agree on that? That's what we're looking for. So we just want clarity in our hearts for what God wants. Because I've got to die a whole lot more in order to do all that he's called me to do. I've got to get rid of more of me. So we're going to spend a lot of time fasting and praying, a lot of time just meditating on the things of God and asking him for clarity and for vision. So we'll still be around. We're not going
anywhere.
Right. We're going to be here. Rock Solid Church is our home. This is where God's called us to work out of. All right? So we're going to take a few months, starting June 9th. Will be my last Sunday that I preach here. June 9th until like September 9th, something like that, or 8th, whatever. Whatever day it is then. But we're still going to be here. We still have our phones. We love you. We appreciate you. And we need you to step into all that God's called you to do. And my prayer is that we would listen to the Holy Ghost this week. Are you sealed by the Holy Ghost all the way into eternity? You've been approved by God. Nothing lacking in you. Right. Nothing lacking. You're approved and sealed by God. And he's preparing people right now for you this week. So we want you to know we love you, we adore you, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be getting closer to him, we're going to be drawing in, and we're going to be expecting people sitting next to you because of the Christ in you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, today, we just thank you for the power of your word. Oh, God, Lord, on that day when Peter was baptized, all of them, and he just stood up. Father, let it be this week that each one of us stand up and we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord.
Let us stand up, Father, wherever we are, whether we're getting tires, whether we're walking through a parking lot. Lord, wherever we are, let us just stand up and love somebody enough. Help us to allow the Holy Ghost out. Help us to allow him to lead us, to guide our tongue, to guide our hands, to guide our feet, to guide our eyes and our ears, that we would be sons and daughters that would obey the Holy Ghost, for we know that that's what brings you glory and honor, Father. So, Father, today, I thank you for every man and woman in this house. What beautiful gift you have given to Columbia and Greene counties, the surrounding counties, Hudson as a city, Father. Lord, what powerful gift you have deposited here for this time and season. For we know your word says that there's going to be darkness that covers the earth and deep darkness to people, but the glory of the Lord will be upon us. So, Father, we thank you for your glory being made manifest in every life in here so that other people's children are set free because of our love for you. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.